Hello, this is Guru Ma, and you're listening to the Godflow podcast.
Don't take the safe path.
You're literally going against nature. You're going against your own stream.
Has any great change on your planet ever been created by anyone who wasn't crazy?
I am not the flesh. I am the energy, the consciousness, the being in the flesh.
And so those experiences of, okay, I got to get this thing to be happy, we know that's not it anymore. We recognize and we understand that the only reason we really are here is to tap into the cosmos.
Well, hello, 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 hello. I hope that, as I always say, that you're having a very beautiful day today and a blessed week, just an invigorating, exciting, optimistic week. And if you are not, then let's change that around. Let's switch it up. Let's create better energy flows so that we can enjoy the time that we have on this earth, because we only have this one time. Actually, we probably have multiple times on this earth, if you want to get deep. But the point is, this is the only time you're going to be this person. But who knows? Because the universe is infinite. Anywho, I wanted to dive into something that I always think a lot about. I just think it's a big part, it plays a big part in all of our lives, whether we realize it or not, or whether we pay attention to the significance of it. And that is relationships. And I mean all forms of relationships and relating to other human beings, because sometimes, I don't know about you guys, I feel like, when it comes to humans, sometimes I'm just like, take it or leave it, I'll leave it. But that is not actually the truth. I might feel like that sometimes, but without the relationships that I have or have had and will continue to have, I wouldn't be the person that I am today, and I wouldn't be able to be just myself, full stop. I wouldn't be able to express myself or feel comfortable or confident in expressing myself or even my ideas if I didn't have people around me that I could share those ideas with already, and they grow that energy and feed that energy. So it's very important that we have relationships and people that understand us, and healthy relationships more importantly in our lives, and what defines a healthy relationship. So I wanted to kind of dive into that, because I feel like our flow and us getting into flow is an energetic thing, and us becoming one with ourselves is also becoming one with the people that we have around us and the people that we've attracted into our lives, whatever reason it is, because those people offer direct reflections. I think that's why we have people in our lives. They are direct reflections of us and our ideas or our beliefs, even if they're past ideas or past beliefs, and even if they're things that you're not comfortable with seeing, or even if they're things you don't want. That's what becomes so difficult or tricky about people and having relationships, is when you have people in your life that are acting in certain ways or treating you in certain ways that you don't want, you have to reflect within yourself, like, what have I done, or what do am I continuing to do that's allowing this person in my life, in my space, or even allowing this person to treat me in these ways. I think when we take complete responsibility of our lives and accountability, we then have a idea and a solid ground to build off of in terms of creating our lives. Once you can take accountability of something fully, you can change it and you can make sure it never happens again, because you are the one that's in the driver's seat. A lot of the times we give our power away to everything and everyone else, whether it's a situation that we be in or someone else that we feel like has caused it. It's easier to play the victim than to take accountability for our lives and then change it and control it. So it's very important to first take accountability and just realize. So when I say that everything in your life, even everyone, is a reflection of you, it's a way to just take accountability in order for you to be able to change and grow from whatever you have in your life. I think it puts you in the driver's seat, should we say. So it's really crazy to think that no matter what culture, what background you're from, what religion, what anything, part of the world you're born in, that we all have the first relationship in our life being the same. That didn't make sense. All of us have the same first relationship. I think that's a better way to put it. And that's with a woman. We all first share our relationship with a woman. And the reason why I just say a woman, because yes, for most of us, it's our mothers. But depending if you could have been a surrogate could have held you or birthed you. You could be adopted. So you might not call the woman that birthed you your mother. You know, there's different ways, but we all have that connection. And that is the first relationship that we have, is with a woman or with a mother. Because we're raised in the womb, before we even have an idea of what relationship is, we are relating to another human being that is giving us life or keeping us alive within them, which I just still think is the most weird, beautiful, strangely alien process that human beings go through, that we grow other human beings within ourselves. It's just, that was my mind being blown, if you didn't know. Either way, that's the first relationship that we have. Or you have a relationship with a parental figure when you are born, whether that is even your grandparents, whether that is you being adopted or your parents. That is the first relationships that we have. And I think they're the ones that mold and shape us the most, because of the fact that we have no idea about how to be human when we're born. And when I say that, I don't mean, I think children know, when we're born, we know the most. I think we know the most about being ourselves than ever before. But we don't necessarily know the customs of the world, the point in time, the demographical location, you heard it here first, folks, demographical location. And because of that, we have to learn. And the way that we learn is by absorbing, watching, and repeating. And we absorb, watch, and repeat a lot of the times from our parents. Kids nowadays are being raised on television and colorful YouTube videos. So they're learning. I don't know what the kids of the next generation are going to be like, because they have a completely different relationship now, because they're born and they have a relationship not only with their parents, but they have a relationship with technology. When I was a child, I did not have a relationship with technology. Like, yes, we had TV, but phones and tablets and all of these things, that was a no-go. I didn't have that as a baby. I didn't have that as a small child either. Watch TV and play with toys. That was where my imagination developed, or a lot of our imaginations developed. And how we then relate to the outside world. We would play outside with friends. We would hear kids' laughter. I don't hear kids' laughter outside much anymore. Maybe it's because I live in a city, and that has a big thing to do with it, because I was born and raised in a town. But generally, the sound of kids playing outside, I don't hear, and I haven't heard in a long time, and that's worrying. And it's not, because it could go either way. It could be a great thing. We could be raising a bunch of technological geniuses, or people that don't know how to relate with people, people that don't know how to speak to people, people that don't know how to build relationships, because of the fact that they've never had the point in time where all they do is cultivate and learn and grow in with relationships. As children, you don't question it. Even shy children, they have a way of relating to other human beings. And now it's all speculation, but I just wonder how it's going to turn out. I'm very intrigued because I'm seeing technology in relationships. I'm seeing a big impact, and a big it's almost a weight. It's like, is it to our detriment or is it to our evolution? Because even in romantic relationships, I say this all the time because I always have debates about it, is I feel like technology, social networking, and these apps are killing relationships. And here's my theory. There was a point in time where you would be in the city that you were in the town you would be born in, and a lot of people don't, or didn't at that point, leave where they were raised, so that you will find normally a partner, you will see the same faces, you'll be in the same groups, whether you work, whether it's your schooling groups, college, whatever, and you will find someone and it will be easier to settle down because that was what was in front of you. That was all that was in front of you, all that has been in front of you. Nowadays, with social media, you pick up your phone and you can see a day 30 to 35 people that you find attractive, or 30 to 35 people that you are interested in, and they're just a message away. You go on something like Tinder and all you're doing is you're scrolling through faces. Literally, there's no connection in it. There's no, actually, I want to get to know this person. I wonder if this person's a good homemaker. I wonder if this is... It's just generally like scrolling, next. And why I think that's crazy to me, or why I think that has such a huge impact in our brains and our psyche, is because as we're in relationships, anytime it gets turbulent, or anytime it might get difficult or uncomfortable, in our head it's like next. Literally, it's like next. There's so many more, it's like next. And the connection, and us actually searching for a connection and actually being able to talk to people beyond what they seem like, it's hard to find people that actually want to have that connection or even know how to. People don't even know how to talk to people nowadays. Social anxiety and awkwardness is at an all-time high. Why? Because we don't have to talk to people when we have our phones in our hands. There used to be a time, not that I remember it completely, but I do slightly, where you could be in, say, the dentist's office, or waiting on a train, or in the grocery store, or out at a party, or like a kickback, and you would have to talk to people because you didn't have a phone. Even if you felt awkward, you just have to bear it. You have to get into conversation. You have to learn how to read a room, learn how to get in and involve yourself within conversations and within like social settings. And now you can just go on your phone. And that's all I'm seeing. When people feel awkward, they go on their phone. When people disengage, they go on their phone. When people get bored, they go on the phone. When people don't know what to say, they go on the phone. So what's happening is you're diverting and your attention away from how you feel, or your socially awkwardness, or your anxiety. You're not actually leaning into it and exploring it and letting it and growing out of it, because you are forced to be put in situations where, yeah, you're going to have to talk. And it's normal to talk. Nowadays, if you talk to someone that's a stranger, they kind of look at you like, why are you talking to me? And I don't know how you make friends if you don't talk to people, like generally, like care to get to know people, care to listen, care to grow. And if every single time something gets uncomfortable or looks like a red flag to you, or is everything but pretty at times, if the first thing you do is to kick rocks. I don't know if anybody says that saying anymore, but you know, if your first reaction when there's a red flag is to leave, then how do we expect to grow? And that's why I think even the institution of marriage, even though I think it needs to be drastically changed, we can talk about that shortly, even marriage and being with someone forever seems like a foreign concept to people that don't know how to feel awkward. I have a very awkward sense about myself, whether it's my humor or just I like to make things awkward, just because I feel like the more that we make situations uncomfortable is the more that we are able to grow, because we are stretching our comfort zones. The only reason something is uncomfortable is because it's outside our comfort zones, and the only way to grow is to stretch our comfort zones. So to make things uncomfortable, to make things awkward, to lean into those aspects and still even face with that, push forward and push through it, is, I feel like, a great way to grow our comfort zones, to grow our minds, to grow our spirits, to grow our just just our persons to face awkward situations and kind of dive into them. It's one of those things, and it's definitely affecting the way we see the world now. I don't know many people that are in relationships that are happily in relationships. I don't know many people now that, and I also think the reason that is because my generation has seen our parents, our grandparents, our uncles, our aunties, all people that went before us, and looked at them and been like, you're not happy. Like the way that people get in relationships and they stay in relationships out of obligation, or that you can tell they're not happy, or they stay together for the kids, or there's a lot of deception or lies or settling going on. I think we've seen a lot of that happen, and we've also seen a lot of just plain old divorce, broken families, not togetherness. I think it's made us question relationships full stop and what they mean, how they feel, and what they're supposed to look like. I think more than ever now, we are seeing a new emergence of, it's not new, but it's becoming more mainstream or more popular knowledge of open relationships and poly relationships. And that's coming more into play is because we're exploring gender roles and what it means and our sexuality, and it's becoming more prevalent and more pushing to do these things so that we can be more accepting to everybody and everything. But within that, we're exploring things that we never really thought about, I think, before as much, or was so taboo before. When I was in New York, when I lived in New York for a little bit, it was hard to find someone that wasn't in an open relationship that was around my age group. And I am 100% for, I feel like, openness, because I feel like love shouldn't be shackled. The same way you can love multiple friends of yours, you can have two or three best friends and you love them all, and you don't, there's no weird energy or strange intent behind it. You just love those people, and you think about the people, you care about those people, and those people are aspects and big elements in your life, and there's no second thought to it, there's no second guessing, and people don't question it. But if you have a partner and you have multiple partners that you love, it's almost like you can't love more than one person, or, oh, do you not think about that person more than you think about that person? Who's your fate? Like, you don't, like, when it comes to friendships, you don't ask those questions, you don't think about those questions. So when it comes to relationships, it should be the same thing. As long as everybody is open, everybody's honest, and there's a clear intent, and there's a clarity within the discussion, and there's a clarity within your hearts and how you move, I think there's no problem with that. It's actually beneficial where relationships are going to end up evolving to. Whether that's a popular opinion, unpopular, I think we're going to start exploring different kinds of relationships, because we've seen the same monogamous type of relationship for so long and realize that it doesn't always work. Doesn't mean it doesn't work, because it does 100% work for some people, and for other people it does not work. You know, and I think we haven't been able until now to freely explore what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work for me? How then can I relate? Are there different forms? How do I go about it? Because a lot of the times when we have relationships like that, there's no blueprint. We don't see many polyamorous, or we don't see many open relationships publicized or put forward in a healthy manner. There's no role models. We don't have open relationship role models or poly role models as much as we have quote unquote couple goals. I know that we have to, it's going to take time for us to all warm up to different point of views, and for the world to change, it always takes time. It takes one person first, and it'll be a second person, a third person, and soon we'll see it be more common and more accepted and more appreciated, and through that we'll find more role models, and we'll find more, and role models is not even, I don't believe in couple goals, because you don't know what's going on in that couple's home. You can say, you can shout couple goals all day, you don't know if there's abuse happening in that home. You can't just be like, couple goals, because you see them post pictures on Instagram. Guys, we got to be smart. We have to be more discerning about that. When I say role models, I just mean people that can speak real, like, not even role models, real models. Real models and real people that can be like, hey, yo, this is hard, but I found that when you are upfront about this, then it really helps with this. And if this situation ever comes up, make sure you, like, are communicative, or when that happens, make sure that you are expressive, or you people that can actually, that have actually been through it, that can then tell you how to better navigate your situation, or just give you advice. Right now, whenever you think of people that are open, you think of people that are just having sex freely with anybody they want, whenever they want. And that's not what open being open is about. It's about love. It's about finding love and embracing and exploring love, no matter when it comes and how it comes and what form it comes in. That to me is my idea of it anyway. That is so far away from the idea that we have about love right now, and the idea that we've been taught. That's why I said even marriage itself has to be reimagined, because we have this idea that, yeah, I'm with this person, I'm only with this person only can love me, this person only has eyes for me, me and this person are together now for the rest of their life, and if anything happens, if they ever have eyes for someone else or fall in love with someone, it's the biggest deception, and that deception is going to break me, and they need to be with me for better health and city support, and our lives now need to blend together, and we need to just be one. We are two halves that now become one. And I always say to people, no. Okay? It's because as people, if you are half a person and you meet someone that's half a person and you get in a relationship, and congratulations, you got one full cup of love. Yay, you're whole. But what happens if that relationship completes and comes to an end? You're going to be fighting over what's in that cup, and you're always going to go from feeling like you're whole to feeling empty again, or feeling depleted, because you went from feeling whole with somebody else to now feeling half of yourself. And that does not fly. That is not healthy. You're not only supposed to be full, but you're supposed to be overflowing. Whatever is in your cup is yours. Whatever flows out is then a gift to the other person. It's how you can be with someone and journey with them and share your lives with them. Not share one life and become one life. I believe relationships are supposed to be, you are two separate people on two separate paths, and you're walking your paths separately, and you share what with that person what's on your path. There's no one in the world that you'll rather share your journey with than this person. To turn and say, do you know what happened to me the other day? I felt like blah, 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 blah. Or you're like, hey, I met this person. I have a really, really strong connection with them. And I just feel like there's no one else you'll rather turn to and look and tell them what is on your path and what you're going through, and sharing your journeys together. Not sharing one journey, not becoming one journey, but sharing the journeys that you have with each other. I think that is a new way to look at relationships, especially romantic ones, to grow and healthier ideas about love, to grow healthier ideas about love, about connection. Because a lot of the times I feel like our ideas of love are so unhealthy based on just what we've experienced thus far, and based on what we've seen in this world thus far. And because of that, it makes us hard to love. And it makes us hard to trust people. And that's even going down to friendships, to have people in your life. And I realized, like, with to trust your friend loves you, I realized with a lot of my friends, I have really great friends. I have really great people in my life. I have really great, really great support system. Even though it's few, I can count them on one hand in terms of the people that constantly reach out to me, constantly show me love, and can grow with me. They truly are people that understand, and it's very important to have that, I realize. But it's also hard to trust in a world that people move so fast. And as you get older, what I'm realizing as I'm getting older is your life almost takes over sometimes, so it's hard to keep in touch. It's hard. It's a general effort. And that's the thing with any relationship, it takes effort, it takes time, it takes you choosing to work on it. It takes you choosing to break down parts of yourself. It takes you choosing to say, this person is worth this to me. I need to check this about myself, or I need to make sure I reach out. I need to make sure they know how much they mean to me. I need to make sure I can tell them that. Like, that is very, very important. It's the work. And things that, anything that's worth anything is worth putting in the effort towards it. And I think a lot of us are lonely because we don't know where to put the effort in, or we don't trust everything that comes our way. But it's another thing about being open as a person, or opening your heart to understand that connections are mirrors. Relationships are mirrors. They show us things about ourselves that we wouldn't get to see alone. They allow us to bounce our energies off each other in order to learn and communicate in more than just words, in feelings, in emotions, in actions. They allow us to grow, and they're very essential and important. Yet again, I would love to speak more about this. I'm going to have to do part twos of all of these things. So just to continue talking about them, I always say this, because it's never enough time with you. I love you. That either sounded really sweet or really weird. No, but for real, I send you love. I send you blessings. Share this podcast, please. Share it with a friend. I need to get better at putting it out there. But yeah, share it with anybody that you feel like needs it, whether it's this episode, whether it's an episode that you've heard before that you really register and resonate with. Whatever it is, I appreciate you for listening. I honestly do. And I hope that you're blessed 10 times over this today, this week, this month, this year. I hope that everything is where it needs to be with you, and you're aligned to yourself every day. So, peace and love.